Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. We're going to talk some hoops today. I realize this has always been a football show, but there are going to be days where there's stuff going on in other sports that we want to talk about. And at The Athletic, we have the best college basketball coverage in America. So when there's stuff going on, I want to talk about that too with the guys that are writing the stories. And the guy we got today is Kyle Tucker. He covers Kentucky, covers whatever he needs to cover, but has an amazing story on Oscar Tshiebwe. Well, Kyle, this is probably like your fourth amazing story on Oscar Tshiebwe this season, because he continues to be endlessly interesting. But you had a story that came out on Tuesday that Oscar, he can now do NIL deals, which is something that was we weren't sure how that was going to work for players who are from other countries. And he's from Democratic Republic of the Congo, yep. I believe. Mm-hmm. But he tweeted out over the weekend, "I'm open for business." And now the guy who transfers from West Virginia to Kentucky might be the best player in America this year. He's got deals rolling in.
Yes, he does. Yeah, it was pretty eyebrow raising to talk to his agent. You know, within 45 minutes of that tweet, he had 30 some emails. The next morning, he had 192. And on the 25 minutes we were talking, 22 more emails came in, all with these, you know, NIL inquiries. And I am not surprised, because Oscar is this endlessly endearing character. He has rapidly become one of the most beloved players of the Calipari era at Kentucky. They love him, and you know, he's maybe the national player of the year, and he's doing it in a way that is unusual. He's the best player in the country as a blue collar guy. Like, he's made rebounding a cool thing. And so, you know, I think he just like connects with the ethos of Kentucky fans. He has come along at this perfect time where they were coming off their worst season in 90 some years. And we're desperate to be good again and be relevant again. And he's made them that. He's, you know, it's a team thing. They're a great team, but he's the face of that team. And he's got this, you know, million kilowatt smile, this accent that's really sort of endearing as well, and just this kind of gratefulness and graciousness about, like, I'm so happy to be here. You can tell he just radiates this like joy that he's at Kentucky. I knew he would be this super marketable guy, and it was a travesty, honestly, that we were 27 games into the season and he hadn't really cashed in on name, image, and likeness like all of his teammates.
It's because the international student, like, if you're on an F1 visa, you're not allowed to have a job, right? So that This had to be figured out with, you know, with compliance, with his attorneys, with his agent. They had to figure out how to do this legally, right?
Yeah, and Kentucky's got a couple interesting cases. They also have Shaedon Sharpe, who was the number one recruit in 2022 from Canada, who's sitting out right now, but he's at Kentucky and practicing. You can't have a job in America. And so Oscar, the one thing he could do even before this was Cameo, because Cameo is not based in America.
I gotcha.
It's a sort of a loophole. Shaedon Sharpe can do all these deals and has done all these deals in Canada. He can do ads and, you know, do all this stuff in Canada. And so he's able to cash in as well. But with Oscar, you know, to fully realize his value he's still probably not going to fully realize it. He's applied for a waiver. There's a hardship waiver, you know, financial hardship waiver that he absolutely qualifies for. His family needs the money. That has not been processed yet. And so he can't fully, but to get even close to fully capitalizing, they needed to find workarounds. And they have spent 3 months, his agent, Kentucky, you know, the coaching staff, the they have a new NIL position on staff, who a guy who's solely focused on that, and then a bunch of compliance people and a bunch of lawyers, an immigration lawyer that Oscar had to hire, essentially to find loopholes and workarounds, things that do not technically qualify as work that allow him to do that. And this is not an NCAA. This is, for once, it's not a thing we can like crap on the NCAA about.
Right. This is the U.S. government
yes.
he's dealing with.
They will deport you, you know, if you violate your visa. And so, you know, they had to really dot their I's and cross their T's to make sure that Oscar's not going to be thrown out of the country. And so they get a lot of credit for that. You know, his agent gave Kentucky a lot of credit for helping work them through it and you know, checking and double checking, like, are we doing this right? Are we doing this so that he will not be in jeopardy? And they feel comfortable that they've reached, you know, a series of agreements or possible agreements for him that work, you know, follow the letter of the law. And so now, yeah, he can, there's a bunch of stuff he can do. And the best part of that equation is now it allows him to do the one thing he wanted to do in the first place with that money, which is bring his mom here from the Congo.
And she'll get to watch the NCAA tournament, right? I mean, that and Kentucky may be a one seed, and that's incredible. So Oscar announces his presence. Now, Oscar was a good player at West Virginia, but he comes over to Kentucky, and was he expected to be the best player on the team, or do they think, okay, Ty Washington's coming in, he'll be the best player? Because Oscar, in that game against Duke, which they lost, you know, Paolo Banchero kind of announced his presence on the college basketball scene. But Oscar had 20 rebounds. And you're like,
against a really good front court. Yeah.
This is different now.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he's just kept doing it, you know, no matter against bad competition, against good competition, against everybody. I think he
had 28 rebounds against Western Kentucky. 28.
He has twice broken Shaquille O'Neal's record for the most rebounds in a game at Rupp Arena. You know, his rebounding numbers, we could spend the whole podcast just like going through the crazy stat things, like historical stat things. He's essentially, the simplest way to say it is probably the best rebounder in college basketball in 30 or 40 years. By every metric, you know, he leads every metric, offensive, defensive rebounding. If you want to do rebounding percentages, if you want to do total rebounds, here's a crazy one. He needs 8 more rebounds to set the single season modern era record. So since the 1950s, the game was much different then. The single season modern era rebounding record at Kentucky, passing Julius Randle and Anthony Davis, who did it in 40 games. He needs 8 rebounds to do it in 28 games. I mean,
oh gosh,
it's pretty astronomical. So yeah, it is kind of shocking. I don't know that they I do know. They did not know they had this on their hands when they got Oscar. They thought they got what they needed. They had no post presence last year, and they thought, well, we're getting a double-double guy. You know, we're getting a, you know, 12.8 or 9 rebound a game guy, because that's what he definitely had done already at West Virginia, and you can assume he's going to do that. But I don't think they ever dreamed that they might have the National Player of the Year on their hands and a historically great rebounder from a 6'8" guy. I mean, he was 6'9", I guess, with tennis shoes on.
Well, and that's the interesting thing about the NIL stuff, because he is potentially in line to do very well as you know, the best player in college basketball, possibly definitely one of the best 5 players in college basketball, the face of a program that has a very passionate, very large following. But he is a 6'8", 6'9", 255-pound guy. That is not an archetype that succeeds much in the NBA right now.
Right. Yeah. I think there's a place for him in the NBA because he's Dennis Rodman. Like you would, even in today's NBA, you would take Dennis Rodman, especially you would take him in the second round. And I think he is a second round pick right now. But if you get another year of this, exactly. If you're a second round pick, knowing what those contracts are, knowing how little is guaranteed, knowing that you could be out of the league in no time, NIL is a game changer for guys like that, and really specifically for a guy like Oscar, who if he comes back to school is a mega star to Kentucky fans. Like he has a chance, if he comes back to school for a second year and does this again, to be like an all-time player at Kentucky. I mean, truly, I think he could become an all-time player with 2 years at Kentucky. For a guy like that, like name, image, and likeness is a total game changer, because his agent told me the most interesting thing of that whole process, that story, and talking to those guys, he said they have a multi-million dollar deal on the table if he comes back to school. And that might just mean...
It's got to be with Windex, right? Has to be Windex.
I think they are actively seeking that. Like, you would hope that he would get a Windex deal. But, you know, merchandising in Kentucky, you know, fans buying, you know, his cards or his posters or whatever, and you know, autographs. I would imagine some memorabilia or merchandising company has told him, like, look, we'll give you $2 million if he's back and we can roll the, you have the whole preseason, you got the whole summer to go on a tour around the state of Kentucky, especially too, like if Kentucky goes to the Final Four led by Oscar, if they win a national championship led by Oscar, he will spend the entire summer making money and it will roll all the way into next year. And the fact that
in college basketball now, it's hard to have established like a year over year star, because if somebody blows up like this,
they're gone. He's a rare guy, but I think there'll be more like Oscar, because there are going to be these guys, especially, and I think big men in particular, because, you know, the traditional big man is not super valuable to the NBA, but is still a valuable thing in college basketball. I mean, look across college basketball right now. Like, some of the biggest stars, the contenders for National Player of the Year, are big guys who may not be NBA big guys. And so if they're stars at their school and they keep coming back, they're worth something.
Well, I remember when Kofi Coburn decided to come back, thinking, oh, you know, 7-footer. But it's different now. I mean, if you're going to star in the NBA, even as a 6'11", 7-foot guy, you got to have some range. You got to have a little handle. And it's just not the same as when you and I were growing up. We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
I did want to ask you, you mentioned big men especially, and I think it's fascinating because Bob Huggins, very good coach at West Virginia. Roy Williams is a very good coach at North Carolina. Bob Huggins had Oscar Tshiebwe. Roy Williams had Walker Kessler, who is the center who is doing great things at Auburn this year. How is it that those guys can be so different in that different environment? Were their skill sets, like what made them special, just kind of missed by these guys who are good coaches?
Yeah, I think that's a super interesting question. Kessler, it just feels like Roy didn't know what to do with him. I don't know. It is odd because, like, I talked to a lot of people when Walker Kessler was on the market to leave North Carolina, a five-star guy who's now, you know, leading the country in block shots. I mean, seems like a guy who would have been valuable to any roster in America. You know, they had other big guys. I mean, that was one thing about Roy, and I think it's, you know, maybe a thing about some of the older coaches in college basketball. They still want to try to play this older plotting way of basketball. and there's maybe a glut of big guys there. I mean, that's at West Virginia, you end up with Oscar, and another big guy who was, you know, an all Big 12 level guy as well. And they basically, Derek Culver, they basically, they were better with one of them on the floor, not both. And so what happened was Huggins kind of had to pick one. And there's a whole, the thing with Oscar, it's a lot more complicated to explain. And I've written about it. Like that whole situation with West Virginia is strange. Like he talks about Oscar, you know, I always wanted to be at Kentucky. It was my dream school. I don't know why I ended up at West Virginia. It's this kind of murky deal. And then Huggins has been real bitter.
College basketball recruiting, yeah, murky. Right, what? Right.
Huggins has been really actually, bitter since he left, you know? And so, yeah, go ahead.
That story you're talking about, the story you wrote in December about Oscar is required reading before you guys start watching the NCAA tournament. So theathletic.com/Andy Staples will get you $1 a month for your first 6 months at The Athletic. So you can go back and read Kyle's magnum opus on Oscar, which I'm telling you, you got to read that before the NCAA tournament because he will be one of the stars of the tournament. So, but yeah, it's super weird how all this stuff happens. And it's funny because covering primarily football, I do wonder if basketball will be informative because the transfer stuff hit basketball earlier where it became more common for good players to transfer earlier. And you know, in football and basketball years ago, it was, well, you transferred if you weren't playing. Right. And you occasionally had a Russell Wilson, but it wasn't that often. Now, in basketball, you could have a guy be a maybe not a megastar, but a really good player on his team and go, no, I'm going somewhere else this year.
Yeah, I mean, Oscar Tshiebwe was an all-conference player. You know, Kentucky, Sevier Wheeler led the SEC in assists at Georgia and came to Kentucky. And Kellen Grady was a 2,000-point scorer at Davidson and came to Kentucky. And C.J. Frederick, who's injured and hasn't played for them this year, as good as Kentucky's been, they haven't even had him. He led the Big 12 in three-point shooting at Iowa, you know, on a really good team. You know, and then you have, you know, even bigger stars than that. I mean, Kofi Coburn was – on the market. He decided to, you know, eventually to come back, but he was in the transfer portal, like a national player of the year caliber player, on the market. It wasn't like he wasn't being used or played at Illinois. Like he was their guy. But basketball is really interesting because you just have guys shuffling around. I mean, everything trickles down, right? The NBA guys are moving around. They want to go to the situation that they feel like gives them the best, you know, chance to team up with other stars and win big, or the best, you know, in Kentucky's case, it's going to be name, image, and likeness, and not just specifically NIL, but all the things around a program like Kentucky or Duke or Kansas or wherever.
Yeah.
Where you're put in a position where like your brand is helped by their brand and vice versa. And just the fact by the very nature that you're going to be in the national TV, you know, 7 or 9 o'clock tip game every week, if you're at Kansas or Kentucky or North Carolina or
Duke. I mean, Kansas, you're playing 9 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN every Monday.
Like, right.
They're you're going to be on big money. You're exactly right. And there will be exposure, and it will, NIL is going to change that. But I wanted to ask you about John Calipari because you've covered him for a long time. And I think the average, you know, casual who shows up for the NCAA tournament assumes that it's still John Calipari signing a bunch of one and dones.
Right.
Those days are over.
Not over, but it's different. Like, and
it's not a whole team of them. It's Ty Washington.
Right. And it'll be, that's what's going to be really fascinating after this season, because he absolutely had to do what he did this year to stabilize the program, because they fell off a cliff last year. They went 9-16. It was the worst season in almost a century at Kentucky. People were pissed. They were like, we're done with one and done. And they'd already begun to have some one and done fatigue. They hadn't been in the Final Four since 2015. Nobody's won a national title primarily with freshmen since Duke won it in 2015 when Kentucky was supposed to win it. And so the game has changed a little bit. The last few champs have been, most of the recent Final Four teams have been veteran teams. He lost big again last year with freshmen. And so he went out and got old, and he didn't just get sort of old or like a little bit older. He went and got like the oldest team in college basketball. Kellen Grady is 25 years old. They have like 25 and 24. Shaedon Sharp is here. A guy I mentioned earlier, the freshman who enrolled and is sitting out there. Kellen Grady's 7 years older than him. I mean, it's, you know, they've got two guys who are super seniors who've started over 100 games in college and played 4,000 or 5,000 minutes in college. They've got, Oscar's a junior, and the starting point guard is a junior. You know, they have two juniors who came back who were on the roster last year. They're all junior, senior, super senior, and as you said, one freshman that they count on. They have three freshmen, but only one who really plays, and that's Ty. The Kansas game, you know, I hadn't even looked at this because they did play. I guess they did have to play the other freshman the other day. But in the Kansas game, it was the first time in 13 years under Calipari that only one freshman has played in a game.
Wow.
In 13 years.
And you'd think the way that game went that they would have right. emptied the bench.
Right. So. It is. I mean, this is a really old Calipari team. But I do wonder, like, was this a, at least to this extent, a one-time, like, stop the bleeding approach to roster right. building? Because then now he's gone out, you know, and signed four, you know, five-star recruits for next
and
year.
And Shaden Sharp is supposed to play for Kentucky next yeah. year, though he could enter the NBA draft.
And yet another year. Mystery for Kentucky and sort of drama-filled, like, will he, won't he, NIL-influenced situation. Yeah, we don't know. But if he does play, then they have Shaden Sharp, they have Kaysen Wallace, who's a top five recruit, they have Chris Livingston, who's a top 10 recruit, and another five-star recruit all coming in, Sky Clark. They have four of them, and they could add more. And so that to me feels like and Cal made big changes to his staff. He went and got Orlando Antigua back, who was here for the glory days, big recruiter. You know, that part of it feels like if Cal can get three of the top 10 players in the country, like the very, very top, which he had not necessarily been doing lately.
He'll do it. That was Duke had started doing that. And it was harder for Kentucky to do it because really only one school at a time can do that.
Right. Yeah. To a certain extent. But yeah. So like, it feels like where we are now, and this is a really great position, honestly, for Kentucky and Calipari and for the other Blue Bloods. Where we are now is like, I'm going to go get all the, you know, the three or four best high school players I can get. And like, if I can't get a top 10 guy or somewhere close, I'm not taking a high school kid. And if I, for all the spots I miss, I'm going to go fill them in with guys that I know can play. And there's no more attractive place to play if you're like, if you're Kellen Grady at Davidson and you want to, you know, you're not quite NBA level, but you feel like you can play in the NBA and you want to go somewhere and prove it. Like Kentucky's going to be that place, right? Or Duke or one of those schools. So Cal, I think now is in a position, I don't know that he's wholesale shifted his like roster building mentality. I think he still wants to have Anthony Davis, you know, and John Wall right. and those guys. But if he can surround them with dudes that, you know, like it's the safety net of here's a guy who's played 100 college games and he's only going to be so bad and he's always going to be at least this good. I think the wild swings and the sort of unpredictability, it takes that out of it a little bit.
Speaking of wild swings, we do need to talk about the biggest story in college basketball, and that's Juwan Howard.
It's a great segue, wild swings.
Look at that. Yeah. Look at that seamless transition. Yeah. But I know you're not supposed to swing on other coaches. Don't do that, kids. Don't get in fights in the handshake line. That's it. Pearls clutched. We're done here.
Right.
Because I am the person also who spends entire podcasts or entire mailbags determining which football coaches would win in a Royal Rumble. Right. By the way, the answer is Mario Cristobal. But so I
like,
I
like Mark Stoops to like be in the like last handful of guys standing.
Oh,
He's a pit bull from Youngstown. His brother would tag team. They would get in there. Him and Mike would get in there. They'd break out some chains and the brass knuckles.
Ed Orgeron being out of the game, I think, helps everybody
right.
other than Mario, because I think Mario could handle him. But yeah, so you got Mark Stoops. Now, if Mike was a head coach again, them tag teaming you would be guaranteed. You'd have no problem. Or Bob, either one.
But Mike slides in from the ring manager position. He slides in with the chair when the referees right. turn around and smashes him over
yes.
the head.
Yes, so we got those guys. Seth Luttrell at North Texas could just destroy people. But let's do college basketball. This got me thinking because, you know, listen, I actually buy Greg Gard's reasoning for calling that timeout at the end of that game. Because he had his backups in. He's trying to get them where they're not going to get a 10-second violation. They can get the ball in. They're not going to get called.
Yeah, but like ultimately this was like a pissing match by both of them.
Absolutely. Well, and the thing about it is in baseball, like this is the same Major League Baseball fan, like unwritten rules Major League Baseball person who's like, you got to drill a dude with a 96-mile-an-hour fastball if he bunts
right
while they're up five right in the seventh inning.
You got to potentially kill someone, cause yeah a brain injury. Yeah.
That same person is the one who wants Juwan Howard right like banned from basketball. So,
well, there are like other things to explore there about why, but
yeah, but it is really the same thing. Greg Gard kind yeah of broke an unwritten rule. Juwan Howard got mad. And Juwan Howard didn't actually try to swing on Greg Gard. But head coaches in college basketball, if let's say there's a controversy and the game must be decided by single combat among the head coaches, I'm thinking Oregon State is your national champ. Like, Wayne Tinkle is huge.
I mean, Mark Pope at BYU is a giant.
Yeah.
You know, you've got some dudes out there.
That's the thing about, like, you have former big men.
Yeah.
And Juwan Howard is a giant guy. Juwan Howard is a longtime NBA veteran.
Penny Hardaway, like, he talks like a dude who wants to get in a fist fight all the time. So, I'd be interested to see that. That's a good one. Danny Manning back in the, he's interim right now. He's in
he's
the head coaching
now.
Seat.
Yeah, so he's the interim coach at Maryland. So
I'd like to see just a former college big man / current head coach Royal Rumble. That would be
It would be tremendous. Like at the handshake line. And,
Huggins, like, he's getting up there in age, but Bob Huggins would try very hard to kill
you. He knows some things. He knows some pressure points. He probably knows that five finger death punch.
He has,
however that works.
He definitely has some small.
Those
caliber
pants
weapons
are very baggy. They can hide a lot of nunchucks or whatever. Yeah, whatever. What do they call them? Foreign objects in yeah pro wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean he wears the because he was the first to the athleisure on the sideline.
Yeah,
like he would wear the loafers,
like,
but he'd have.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically when he shows up, you like hand over a brown paper bag full of like the cash that you owe the guy. You know,
I feel like Chris Beard's got a shot too. He seems like to go to the baseball term, like he has the red ass.
Well, I mean, yeah, we're going like Butch. I mean, Buzz Williams. Like, he seems like he would just try really hard to de-cleat you and powerbomb you in his little vest. Somebody tweeted about Buzz Williams that he looks like a doctor on like a Western. He's always dressed doctor on a Western.
Yeah, he's gonna take a branding iron and perform surgery. Exactly. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Wayne Tinkle would look like King Kong against the airplanes.
Yes.
against most coaches. Now, some of the guys we mentioned, Juwan Howard, Danny Manning, they might have a shot, but Wayne Tinkle would just be flattening people with a huge reach advantage.
I think that's a good pick. I can't believe we've gotten this far into a conversation about coaches fighting and not thought about Frank Martin. And again, maybe it's because he's getting up in age, but like Frank
knows some guys too.
He's actually threatened to kill people before. I think Frank's story is that he was an actual bouncer, right? Like
if you happen to survive your one-on-one with Frank, which you might not, he knows a guy.
Yeah, his people are going to get you on like three blocks down.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, this could get interesting.
I've heard a great story about Frank Martin and a coach who's no longer he's no longer employed, but was a rival of his who, you know, was talking trash about him in recruiting circles. And that Frank like called him up and said, "I'm going to drive to you and I'm going to beat your ass." and I have no trouble at all believing that.
Well, how often in these handshake lines is that what is said?
Oh, that like
when it looks like they're saying good game, buddy. Like when they kind of lean in.
Yeah, I'll tear your eyeballs out. Yeah, I mean, I would think pretty often. Like that's the other thing about this. Like I'll buy Greg Gard's like reasoning, but also it was a two sided pissing match. And like the Wisconsin statement today about de-escalating, like nobody from Wisconsin was trying to like de-escalate. They got a guy doing the DX suck it chop on the sideline to Michigan's players and coaches. Like that's not a de-escalation.
And by the way, there was also a North Dakota State Oral Roberts handshake line fracas too. So
which is
it's epidemic.
It is an epidemic. I do think it's interesting to hear everybody like weighing in like on the morality of the handshake line or whether we should have it or what it teaches us about men to go through the handshake line. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I care passionately either way.
How many thousands of handshake lines are there? And there, we can remember the incidents. Like it's okay. Yeah. It's every once in a while after a very intense game, some people are going to blow off steam and do something they shouldn't. It's okay. If it happens every once in a while, it's not that bad. But I just thought, good Lord. And this is because college basketball does not get into the debate show realm very often in the regular season.
It got there. Stephen A. Smith is like, you know, I think he spent like three different shows on it, but I don't know. I feel like it was about right. You know, suspend him for the rest of the regular season. They're probably not even going to go to the NCAA tournament. Like they're not good this year. So you've effectively like sidelined them for the year.
They're like last four out right now. And I think Lenardi had them last one out before the suspension announcement. So yeah,
they're just not very good. Like, so there's a decent chance they missed the tournament.
I'm sorry. Lenardi had him last one in. He had him in the first four. So
they got a chance. I mean, you got a bunch of opportunities when you're in the Big Ten. Like you could easily, you know, steal a couple of big ones and get in. But I felt okay. Even if they do make the NCAA tournament, like I felt okay with suspending him for the rest of the regular season.
You're sending a message. It's an intense game. No, you shouldn't be swinging at other people. Stuff happens.
It was a paw. I mean, I do think he saved it. I literally think he saved his job because he reared back with it closed. He managed to open it. He opened it by the time he got there.
Well, Woody Hayes got fired for the punch. Close. Yeah.
If you catch another coach in the face with a closed fist, you're probably fired.
Probably. I mean,
because Juwan Howard, if he actually connected, probably would have knocked the dude out. And that would have been a bad scene.
It would have been real bad.
Also, if he knocked the dude out, like who knows? And I do think this is where everybody's like kind of right to clutch their pearls. Like it went into kind of a melee with the players after. It really would have if Juwan Howard had actually, you know, closed his fist and decked a guy.
With the coaches, them going at each other is more likely to incite a bunch of players going after each other.
Your players are just going to go. They're going to follow you. They're going to feel like they have to defend you. I think that's why Calipari said that. You know, he was actually asked about it. He's like, you know, you've got to be somebody's got to be the adult in the room. You know, because those guys are going to look at him like, what's Cal doing? Oh, Cal just punched Frank Martin. Cal would not punch Frank Martin.
That would not.
They like each other, but also he's smarter than
that. And by the way, we didn't mention John Chaney trying to strangle Cal in a post-game interview.
Yeah, I'll cover a guy. I've actually written, I wrote a story 20 or 25 years later. I can't remember which anniversary it was, and talked to Cal and John Chaney, who became friends after. But yeah, I cover a guy who in his youthful exuberance always was trying to get under people's skin and made John Chaney come screaming into a press conference, screaming, "I'll kill you. I'll kill you." Like, sometimes I think we forget how crazy sports were in the 80s and 90s. You know, when we get
there was no Twitter.
When we get like really worked up about stuff, like dudes would like just draw back in the NBA and like duke it out. Like,
yeah.
Punch each other in the face. You know, they were some of the fouls that were committed, like the hard intentional fouls in the NBA back in the day, or like criminal acts now.
Well, so. The Rudy Tomjanovich, that when Rudy Tomjanovich got punched.
Yeah.
I mean, that there were,
I do think at that time, debates. Probably there was sufficient outrage over that. Like, I think that was a huge deal, but you know, there was stuff that happened all the time that it's mind boggling that the Chaney and Calipari thing happened. And that it happened with cameras rolling.
Can you imagine
if
that happened now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, it would be like what we saw in the reaction to the Juwan Howard thing, but like even more. I mean, like 10 times more.
As much.
10 times more, because like actually screaming like, "I'm going to kill you."
Right.
is a kind of unbelievable.
And remember the most important part of what you said about the story you did years later. They became friends
pretty quickly. Like, became friends not long after, and they've been like, sort of like lifelong friends.
When you cover football training camp, and a lot of college writers don't get to cover camp anymore, but the NFL guys do. When you see a fight in training camp, and a lot of the writers are just like, and want to make something out of it. Sometimes guys are just tired,
right,
of what that dude's been saying for the last few weeks, and they're gonna blow. They're athletes. They're on a field,
or they're preening and performing for somebody. Like, it's like, I can't let this guy punk me. You know, it's all. I mean, it's Neanderthalic behavior,
right?
But like, sports are Neanderthal. Like, sports are in many ways like Neanderthalic. Like, some of the, you know, like if you're putting two people against each other, or two teams of people against each other, to physically try to dominate the other one. Then, like, when somebody like sticks his chest out and tries to prove his manliness, it's not that big of a surprise. Like, in the heat of battle, I do think the coaches have to be held to a little different standard. But I think what happened was right. Like, Howard is unnoticed now; he's missing a huge chunk of the season, and I surely now the next thing that happens for him, he probably is fired, because he's had more than one.
But, yeah, you know, have
handshake line issue. And so now it's like, okay, this was your second strike.
Well, next time any of this happens, forget this mess, suspending, whatever. Clear the floor. Get the players off so they don't have a brawl. Bring the two coaches back, center court, single combat. Winner gets the W in the game.
Just hand to hand?
Unless somebody's got something in
Derringers, something in their pants.
We got to make it happen, Kyle. We're going to make people watch regular season college basketball. Damn it. We're going
to
do it.
I mean, I'm for it. It is really funny. Like, you mentioned that, like, it's funny to watch everybody wake up to college basketball. Like, the minute this Super Bowl ends, like, okay, we're out of football distractions. Like, oh, basketball.
But it's almost like somebody pressed a button like, hey, we need a hot button topic so everybody can talk about college basketball now. Super Bowl's over. Boom.
Yeah.
Juwan Howard swipe at a Wisconsin assistant.
The Buffalo Wild Wings button, like, just made Juwan Howard bop somebody on the head. But I'm for anything. I think anything that'll get people paying attention to college basketball year round, if it's hand to hand combat, I'm in.
It's just
fight somebody. There's a lot of people I'd like to fight hand to hand. You know,
we could have sports media hand to hand combat. That'd be great. Like,
there are people
you just call out Seth Emerson, and like, you guys go at it in the octagon comes down over midcourt. You guys go at it at halftime, like Red Panda one night. Kyle versus Seth another night.
Yeah, I would do that. I would duke it out with various media personalities. I need to write something into my contract about that, but yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah. Oh, you definitely need more money for that. Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, this is what we do on this show. We create revenue streams.
That's right.
Kyle Tucker, it has been a pleasure. Oscar Schwebe, congratulations on all your new revenue streams. Kyle, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, man.